Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am with my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we have some exciting both tech and therapy updates. We're going to start with therapy. So orforglipron, that is the oral GLP-1 that is hopefully coming soon. It has been submitted to the FDA for approval. But there was recent top line data that was just announced that's really, really exciting. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Natalie, to share these exciting top line results.
Absolutely. So again, top line, right? Lilly's orforglipron helped people maintain weight loss after switching from injectable incretin to oral GLP-1 therapy. Are first of its kind, looking at this, at switch in a phase 3 trial. So this is called the achieved primary and all key secondary endpoints for weight maintenance versus placebo at 52 weeks following weight loss on either Wegovy, which is semaglutide, or Zepbound, tirzepatide. So participants who switched from Wegovy maintained all but 0.9 kilos of their previously achieved weight loss on average. So again, they have submitted for FDA approval, but this is a really interesting idea, right? There are people who are like, yep, then they start to forget, then they delay, then they do this, then they do that. And remember, this medication you can take with your other medications. So no one has looked at switching back and forth from injectables to an oral. I'm impressed, right? So let's dive a little bit deeper. In this study, orforglipron met the primary endpoint of superior percent maintenance of body weight reduction compared to placebo among the SURMOUNT-5 participants who previously reached a body weight plateau. In pre-specified analyses at 52 weeks, participants who switched two or four glipron from Wegovy maintain their achieved weight loss with an average difference of only 0.9 kilos. That's a big deal, right? While those who switched from or four glipron from Zepbound maintain their previously achieved weight loss with an average difference of 5 kilos using the efficacy estimand. So this, then there was a post hoc analysis at 24 weeks. The last time point before placebo participants were eligible for this orforglipron as rescue therapy, and the change in body weight from the maintain baseline for patients switching was negative 0.1 kilos versus 9.4 for placebo. So the patients basically were either given a placebo pill or this orforglipron, right? So the people on the drug had a 0.1 kilo difference. The people who took placebo, so they were stopped on GLP-1, gained 9.4 kilos at that point, right? So what this is telling us is it's maintaining weight loss. This is pretty amazing. Diana, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is awesome because a lot of people will say, well, how long do I need to take this injectable? And I think a lot of people desire to get off of injectables, but taking a daily pill for whatever reason seems to be more appealing to people, or they're taking some type of other pill, so it's just not a big deal to take them together. And so I think for weight maintenance, this is really promising and could be really revolutionary, especially because what they're saying is they do expect the price for this oral drug to be much lower than the injectables have historically been. So when you think about, like, this is so good. I mean, this is so good for people to reach their weight loss goals. This is good because potentially this really has the impact to reduce these other complications that are associated with overweight and obesity. So I'm like,
as well as
really buzzing, like, excitement.
Yes, this is very exciting. So the other thing, interestingly, this morning in clinic, I had someone who said to me today, I'm going to Africa for 2 weeks. I'm not taking my injectable weekly with me. Okay, so what we're going to do is move your dates and take it right before you leave and just skip a week and come back. There's a point where we have to work with the person sitting in front of us, right? I could say, no, you absolutely do. What are we doing, right? At some point, and I said to her, this is going to be great. You're going to walk more. You're going to, the pyramids aren't close. They look like they're close in pictures. They're not close. You're going to do a ton of walking. This is a fine time to skip a week. If she were on oral, maybe she wouldn't even have to. She's taking other pills. She takes a blood pressure pill and a cholesterol pill, right? We could just say, no, keep going. It's fine. So there is some, this pullback sometimes with the injectables where people, you know, they're like, I'm worried about refrigeration. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. This takes it all away without reducing, you know, without compromising, you know, additional weight gain or other issues that we think about when we're, you know, this is just like, I can't wait. I can't.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That does come up a lot when people travel and they're like, oh, I'm supposed to keep this refrigerated and like how long and like carrying an extra dose in case something happens, but then it's not refrigerated. And then how long is it good for? And yeah, I mean, that's that would really make that a whole lot easier.
A whole lot easier, right? For someone that is truly, and she's at maintenance, right? So this is really exciting. I can't wait for, you know, I guess I can't wait for the next step, right? Like that's really what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to highlight though that maybe it wasn't, I mean, we don't know the full manuscript. These are top line results, but there was more weight change when switching from Zepbound to orforglipron. So it was about a 5 kilogram weight gain, which
difference.
Is, yep. I mean, that is something, right? That's over 10 pounds. So, and it's interesting that that wasn't seen with Wegovy. Now, I suspect that's because people lost more weight with Zepbound compared to Wegovy. And so that's, I guess it's not shocking that that happened, but that will be something to keep in mind that as these GLP-1 drugs get more powerful, that the switch, people gain a little bit of weight. I mean, it's going to be different going perhaps if someone was on liraglutide or exenatide or dulaglutide versus like you're on tirzepatide and you're going to expect it may not be quite as potent. But if it's the convenience of a daily pill, I think that will be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess the other side of it is, you know, we could always say some people lost, some people didn't, right? Like we can't, because we don't see top line, I mean, this is only top line, you know, there are people who didn't actually gain. Some people probably maintained. So could we try the oral and say, look, if you start to gain weight again, we can always go backwards, right? And go back on injectables. But if you'd like to try an oral, this is the risk. This is the, you know, and give that power back to the person in front of us to help them make those decisions.
For sure. And so kind of speaking of these like potent, right, GLP-1 incretin type of drugs, today we got news that cagrilintide with semaglutide has been submitted to the FDA. So this is like so exciting. And I know we already have like a whole year in review on incretins and, but like, gosh, there's more and more things that just keep coming out. But this combination, like with the amylin with the GLP-1 is really, really exciting. And kind of some of the reasons why this is so significant is first of all, this is like a true first in class, like dual combination. We did have the drug pramlintide, Similin, but that was removed from the market and that was 3 times daily dosing. That was like a very hard drug to use. But this was studied in the REDEFINE trials for overweight and obesity, as well as type 2 diabetes. And in REDEFINE 1, showing 20% weight loss in people with overweight or obesity. And then in REDEFINE 2, which had people with type 2 diabetes, there was 14 to 16% weight loss. And so, you know, it's really, I don't know, we could potentially have this new option. And I think it's just really exciting. Natalie, what do you think?
Absolutely. I'm looking at some of the information right now. And I think that, you know, again, every time we have a different combination, right? So this is this first amylin combination. So, you know, the biggest side effect of all of these medications is what? GI. So maybe this amylin addition will cause less side effects in some people, and maybe it's the drug of choice for others. And so I think that, you know, we're going to be able to have more options, and let's hope that with more options, cost will come down. I mean, those are my two big things, right? But that means, you know, this was a year of GLP-1s, right? GLP-1 plus whatever other things, right? 2025 at the IDAR end of the year, what really is, you know, because we looked at osteoarthritis, we, you know, we're using it for sleep apnea, we're, you know, the all these other things, kidney function, all of it, right? Now we're looking into 2026 and we're looking at two new medications both of which are new to the class that are going to expect it to be approved in 2026. Wow. I mean, going to be a big year already.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I mean, there's a lot for 2026 between all these GLP-1 drugs. And then, I mean, we're hoping weekly insulin has also been submitted to the FDA. So it could be a pretty exciting time for therapeutics for obesity and type 2 diabetes, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exciting.
So let's end on one quick technology note. Do you want to?
Yeah, well, tech updates. So recently, Libre announced a new feature in their app called Libre Assist. And I was so excited about this that I had to put a sensor on and try it. I did have to remove my app and re-download it to make sure the new feature was there. But this is super cool. So you can take pictures of your food and then AI can recognize what the food is. And not only does it recognize it, but then it offers some good educational tips. Like, I mean, my first picture was actually a salad. It was actually a salad. It had cucumbers and I don't remember what else, but it's consider adding some protein to your salad. It's so cool. And then it tells you the expected glycemic impact. So for that, it was minimal impact. But then I took a picture of some French fries and it's it's going to have a high glycemic impact. Maybe consider having some protein first. And it's so cool. The AI embedded into it. I'm a big fan. I don't know, Natalie, what do you think?
I think it's going to be great. I think that people, I think sometimes people are challenged with, all right, so I had a burger and some fries, so it's better because I had the burger. Well, if you take a picture of the whole thing, what is it saying, right? It's still going to have a high. So I think, how much ketchup are you using? Those kinds of things. I think it's going to help people realize what does really make glucose go up, right? I had a milkshake. Okay. Those kinds of things. I need to play with it more, but I can't wait. Even a little bit of help. Right? People leave here. Our friend Manny, who is now at the Diabetes Link, did a lecture years ago and had this blue circle with this tiny little dot on it at the end. And that represented the time you spend with your provider. The rest of the time, people are out there by themselves the rest of the time. So any AI that will help them say, hey, is this a great choice right now? How do we do this? Do we add protein? If you eat a salad with no protein, and they don't see the nuts on the side or whatever, you might be hungry in an hour and a half again, right? So maybe adding protein will help keep you fuller longer, right? Those kinds of ideas, right? It's a time alone. It's time away from your provider that the decisions are really being made. So I'm excited that they're offering this. I haven't played with it enough yet, but that is part of my project for the next week.
Well, while you were talking, I was playing around with it more because my daughter had her birthday party yesterday and there was this amazing cake that my mom made. And so I took a picture of the cake. So I just uploaded the picture of the cake and it's like, well, that's going to have a major impact on you.
I love that. Major impact. Right. Yes.
But it's eating something like a handful of nuts or some Greek yogurt before enjoying your frosted birthday cake may help slow how quickly your body processes the sweets, which could lead to a steadier glucose response. I mean, that's pretty solid info.
Right.
I love it's all AI. It knew it was a frosted birthday cake. I'm really amazed. So that's really cool. I do want to highlight, so Dexcom has also added in, they have a feature where you also can take pictures of food and it's pretty good at recognizing also what the food is. And what it does actually in theirs is it will then do a before and after with your glucose levels. So this is similar. There's another app called Under My Fork, which has done this for a while, but it will actually show you, what's your glucose starting, then 1 hour, 2 hour, et cetera. So you can see the impact and then you can look in your history to see, that's how I responded to this food. So we are seeing, I think some great additions to these apps for CGM.
Absolutely. And I love the idea that it says, okay, wait a minute. So you looked at this food. This is what happened to your glucose. As a person who uses insulin, do you need more insulin? Do you need, right? If someone isn't using insulin, what would that be? I could just spread these carbs out. My body with the medications I take right now doesn't do well. It just my glucose goes too high, right? So it gives you a before, during, and after. And I think that's really, I love that idea. because it helps you understand how what the foods are that you're eating and what combination are causing what spikes. Again, open for lots of successes. So that's ultimately what we're trying to do is in between visits, how do we help people who walk around every day with diabetes increase their time in range?
Yeah, it's awesome. And then one other quick tech update I just want to share that I recently learned about is that Omnipod 5. So when it links, it does work with Libre 2 Plus, soon Libre 3 Plus, but right now Libre 2 Plus. But one of the kind of challenges that's been when people use Libre is that you don't have a follow app because the follow app with Libre requires you to have the Libre app. And then you can kind of pair it with the Libre link up for somebody to be able to follow the data. So they've recently added that there is a way now through a cloud-to-cloud connection that someone can set it up where others will be able to follow and see their data. So I do think that is a huge plus, especially just thinking about kids using this system that are using Libre. I think that will be really good. The next thing we hope for is that the data would also be in Libre View, but that maybe that will be in the future. Right. But at least having that followability, I think, is just really, really important and has been, I would say, a little bit of a barrier with Libre. Now, with some of the pumps, like with Beta Bionics, they do have their own follow app, so people have been readily able to see it. But if you don't have your own follow app, then that can be a barrier.
So, yeah, and I think our listeners or viewers need to understand Libre only sends one link, right? One sends one out. Your Dexcom sends two. So you can have a Dexcom app and the follow app goes on one thing and your pump or your whatever else you're doing on goes separately, right? So that they can talk to two different things. With Libre, it's only going one place, but now it's saying, okay, we can go one place, but we can send it to a cloud, right? So it's like a jump is basically what it is, right? I would also say, you know, you mentioned children, but adults have seizures too. Adults have horrible low glucoses. And sometimes family members, it's just easier for family members to help, right? So, or a, you know, or an older person or whatever. I see this helping with lots of different people that are challenged with just more fluctuations than others. We see it every day in our clinic. There's people who just have lots more variability. And so those people that are just prone to those kinds of heightened fluctuations feel better when someone can follow them. So, you know, as they, it just adds to another option. So when we do pick a sensor for someone, if we have both of them can have a sense to follow, have family members or loved ones follow them, now we can look at, okay, what is the cost? What is the lower copay? What is the sensor that feels most comfortable in you? And have different conversations versus you have a history of seizures. I need your wife or husband or child or whoever, the school nurse, to follow you. This is your pick, right? Because we do that in clinic right now. We really do push for, no, we really want, because 99.9 or plus percent of the time, a person with diabetes is not in our clinic, right? They're living their lives. So this is going to help families be able to, no matter how old they are, be able to then go back to the, how, which do you want and why, choosing. So I'm excited. I'm thrilled, actually.
Yeah, all good things. Very exciting where all the tech is going. All right. So that wraps up our updates for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you next time on Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.
Thanks, everyone.